Someone said to me something about faith. Said, Brother Frazier, can you explain faith? I said, no, can't explain it. I said, the Bible says, Paul says, now faith is. So faith is something. You see, faith becomes a way of life more than just a verbal expression. You know, people go around and say, oh yeah, I believe. Well, the Bible says the devils believe. So faith becomes a way of life. Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, your faith is known all over the world. Not how you talk, but how you walk. How you live. How you conduct yourself. What is your behavior pattern? And see, that denotes our faith, our trust, our confidence. And the word faith in the New Testament, really, in the Old Testament, is the word trust. Our trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Believe in God. Whatever. And I thank God for that tonight. Would you just shake hands with somebody and say, you look good? Thank you. You may be seated. The minister asked his congregation to say that one night, and the person spoke up and said, you're not going to get me to lie. Amen. Praise the Lord. This fellow said, well, you look good in the Lord. Well, how did he look when he was out of God, you know? Praise the Lord. I want to thank you, Pastor Powell, for opening the door of this ministry for me to speak tonight. Thank you so much. It's a delight to have our son Don with us. Don is our second son. And that means if he's the second one, there had to be a first one. But he wasn't the first one, he was the second one. And he's a minister, pastor of a church in Houston, Texas area. And it's a delight to have him with us tonight, have him in the home. Mm-hmm. Before our children were ever born, we gave them to the Lord. Someone asked Suzanne Wesley, the mother of John and Charles Wesley, said, when did you give your children to the Lord? She said, about 40 years before they're born. A lot of times we wait until expediency, we wait until emergencies arise, you know, before we call on God, or before we dedicate or consecrate. But folks, don't wait until you see a cemetery to start thinking about dying. There's one other thing that'll prevent us from dying, and that's the rapture. And that's more certain than death. Right? Because we're going to be raptured out of this world, folks, one of these days, if we live. Praise God. And I'm looking not for a hole in the ground, but for one in the sky. Praise God. Hallelujah. I have in my pocket a lifesaver. You remember the lifesavers? You know, that has a hole in them. And this minister, he would always take a lifesaver with him when he went into the pulpit. He'd have it in his pocket, and he'd just reach down there. He would time himself, his sermons, by how long that lifesaver stayed in his mouth. When the lifesaver disappeared, he knew it was time to quit. But somebody slipped a button in his pocket. And you can just imagine how long he preached. But I'll not, I'm glad this is a lifesaver, not a button. Praise the Lord. I want you to turn with me, please, to John's Gospel. The Gospel according to John. Pastor, I'm going to preach as long as I can, and then when I reach that point, I'll just stop. Back years ago, when I came along, back in the 30s, maybe it happened before then, there was an expression that ministers would use, "I want to die in the harness." That just simply meant that they'd just like to die, go home preaching the gospel. And I know of no greater way to enter the kingdom of heaven than just be declaring God's word. Now, I'm not making an announcement tonight that I'm leaving it from there. That's not the idea at all. And I don't want you to get that as a power of suggestion. But I know of no greater thing that we could be doing than be engaged in God's work and in His ministry. Because it's a call of God. Gifts of calling are God without repentance. And the anointing, folks, you just don't retire the anointing. The anointing is there. And John says it abides with you. It abides with you. And I'm thankful for that anointing tonight. And I minister, as ministers, I think we know when we have it and we know when we ain't got it. And we ain't got it, we're praying, "Oh God, hurry up and give it to me right quick," you know. But not only is the minister anointed to preach or to minister the word, but I believe congregations and audiences are anointed to hear. The Bible said, "Let him that hath ear, let him hear," you know, what the God is saying to the churches. John chapter 6. John's Gospel, chapter 6. And if you will, drop down on the page to verse 53. John 6, 53. "Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily," or "truly, truly, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, ye have no life in you." Now that didn't mean that they didn't have a 72-minute heartbeat. That didn't mean that they didn't have 5 quarts of blood circulating through their veins. Jesus is not talking about that kind of life. He said, "You have no life in you. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. For my flesh is food or meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed." Same page. "Many therefore of his disciples, when they heard this, said, This is a hard saying." Do you understand it? This is a hard saying. Can you hear it? Many of his disciples. What's the definition of a disciple? A follower. Many of his followers said, "This is a hard saying." Who can hear it? Now, if you will, I'd like for you to drop down a little further on your page to verse 66. "From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Then Jesus said to the 12, I have a suggestion. I have a proposal. I have something that I'd like for you to think about. Would you like to quit? Would you also go astray? While these others are leaving, why don't you leave also? Because it won't be as noticeable if you leave while they leave. Because it looks like everybody else is leaving, so why don't you just go? Then Simon Peter answered, "Lord, I ain't got nowhere to go. I sold shoes back a number of years ago in J.B. Ivy's Shoe Salon in Charlotte, North Carolina. And this lady came in and I sat her down at the place and measured her foot. And I said, "Now what type of shoe did you have in mind?" And she began to tell me. And I brought out a pair of shoes and tried. She said, "Well, it doesn't look good." I said, "Walk over to the mirror." I said, "Don't look down on your foot, because everybody's foot looks wide when you look down on it." I said, "Look in the mirror and look at it from a side view, and it'll have a tendency to look narrow." She walked back and sat down, and she said, "I don't like it." So I brought out another pair. In fact, about 6-8 pairs of shoes I had around there. And finally she said, "You know what? I've seen so many shoes today, I just don't think I know what I want." I just don't know. I can't make up my mind. I'm confused. Jesus looked at that crowd as they walked away with his fried brim and crappie and catfish stew and hush puppies and coleslaw and iced tea and lemon meringue pie churning in their stomachs, walking away with his dinner operating in their digestive system, walking away with his full-fledged menu of a fish dinner. Jesus turned to 12 and said, "Now while they're leaving, why don't you leave with them?" And Peter said, "Lord, I ain't got nowhere to go. I've left all, and I'm following you." Now can we say that tonight? Can I say that tonight? Have I left all? Jesus said, "You got to love me more than you do mother, father, brother, and sister, houses and lands, deeds and boats, and you know, you got to love, because if you don't, you're not worthy to be my disciple." Peter said, "Lord, where are we going?" Ever since man came into this world, and theologians date approximately 6,000 years that mankind has been on the earth. And incidentally, the first thing that we got when we made our debut was a sleigh. And I hadn't done nothing, folks. But the doctor gave me a full-fledged whack. Maybe that's the reason some people are under such a guilt complex all their lives. Because they got a whack when they were born. They felt like they'd done something wrong. But ever since then, we've been on our way somewhere. Now, the existentialists say that we don't have a destiny. But thank God I do. Thank God you do. I know where I'm going. Because the one that I'm acquainted with knows where he's leading me. And he abides. He doesn't have a destiny. We have no origin. We have no permanence. And we don't, and we certainly don't know where we're going. What's out there? Don't know. But Jesus said in John 14, "Let not your heart be troubled." Don't be scared to death. I'm standing here tonight before you folks with a bona fide reason for being scared, afraid. But I'm not. I say I'm not. Because I know in whose hands I'm being held. I know who's got a hold of me. And I know that the investment that I made in the kingdom of God, my heavenly Father is not going to let it fly by. This is one of the most pathetic incidents you'll find in the life of our Lord. To have taught, blessed, healed, delivered, saved, cleansed, what do you name it? And to see your congregation walk off and leave. I'm sure Pastor Powell can identify and associate with this, and I certainly can. Lord, was it something wrong with me? Something I said? But you see, folks, when it comes to declaring the Word of God, there's no compromise. I said, there's no compromise, folks. Because you see, you leave that person in the hands of God. I quit judging people a long time ago. I believe I told you the last time I ministered. I can evaluate. I can assess. I can determine. But thank God, I'm not executing judgment on anybody. That's in the hands of my Heavenly Father. That's in the hands of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. He'd fed the 5,000. Multitudes had eaten. Satisfied. Maybe had to take a dose of Arm and Hammer. And to see that crowd get up and walk off and leave. Because Jesus said, you've not only got to eat my corn pone, but you've got to eat me. You not only got to sit down at a table and eat a catfish or brim dinner, but you've got to devour my flesh also. Because it's by my death and my dying and shedding of my blood that I'm going to redeem mankind. And aren't you glad you're redeemed tonight? I've been bought with a price. I said, I've been bought with a price. And the devil was bidding high. Excuse me for getting a little loud, because I feel it coming on, folks. Amen. And when you feel it coming on, you got to let go. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Praise God. And Jesus stood there and watched that crowd walk off and leave him. Said to him, you also leave. He lost his congregation. It looks like all some folks are interested in is just a good wholesome meal. I'm talking about spiritually now. Fried bream, you know, fresh puppy, slaw, iced tea. Going to have a all-day dinner and service on the ground. I said that purposely. Did you get it? All-day dinner and service on the ground. People will come for a big dinner. But when you spread the table of the Word of God, whereby we grow and mature and develop, God never intended, folks, that we go through life saying, Dad, Dad, and Man, Man, Guru, La, La, Papa, Ma, Na, Na, Ma. Thank you, dear, for the help you gave me. But God wants us to mature and grow in grace. Amen. I don't like to be misunderstood. Thank God for John 3:16. I said, thank God for John 3:16. But thank God for the furtherance and the growth and development. God so loved the world. Christ so loved the church that he gave himself for it. Praise God. Thank God he does love the world. He loves everybody. He loves you and me. He loved us when we're not lovable. And he loves us now when we're not so lovable. But let's just don't hang around John 3:16 all the time. Let's go on to a deeper truth. Amen. Let's go on, Paul says in Hebrews, to spiritual maturity and perfection. Praise God. You see, we need somebody, folks, and we're going to somebody. The government, they offer all kinds of assistances, you know, and help and aids. But there's a certain area in your life, folks, that the government absolutely cannot touch or influence. And that's your relationship between yourself and God. I stand before him tonight. Pennsylvania Avenue can't solve my problem. The nation's capital, folks, can't solve my problem. But thank God Jesus can. I said, thank God Jesus did. And I need somebody to lift me above circumstances. Paul says, the life that I now live in the flesh, that is in the body. The life that I now live in the body, I live by the faith of the Son of God who gave himself for me. And if there had not been but one Roy W. Frazier in America, in the world, Jesus Christ of Nazareth would have come all the way from glory, hung suspended on a cross, his thigh riven with a sword, crown of thorns on his head, nails in his hands and feet, his blood dripping from his body. He would have done it for me. Somebody say amen. He would have done it for me. And thank God he did it for me. To live in the flesh, you can't deny. Paul says the life that I now live in the flesh, in the body. You can't deny that, folks. 206 bones in your physical anatomy. 5 quarts of blood in your veins. You've got an inside built-in air conditioning system that registers 98.6. You know who did that? God. I said, God. That's the reason in the Garden of Eden, God looked around and looked at all of those monkeys, and, well, Adam did too. And he said, there's no way in the world that monkey and I can, you know, get along. She's either up in a coconut tree picking fleas. I'm not interested in that. I want somebody down here on the earth, you know, that I can talk to and communicate with and love. And so God said, it's not good for man to be alone. And if you'll go over there and lay down and take a little siesta, when you wake up, I'll let you siesta. Is that good, brother? That's good. And she could have run for Miss Universe. And he was Mr. Charles Atlas. You see, when God made us, folks, he didn't make a mess. Right? When you look into the mirror and you see reflected back, you may not like what you see, but God made you, folks. Hallelujah. The life that I now live in this body, I live by the faith of God. To live in the flesh, we cannot deny. And to walk after the flesh, we must deny. We're not walking after the flesh life tonight, folks, because if we've been born of the Spirit, His nature has been instilled into us. Peter says, called it His divine nature. Amen? I'm not God, but thank God I'm a child of God. And I'm not all I'm going to be because He's still working on me. He's still working on me. And you're not looking at a finished product either. Bless God, He's still working on me. But one day, I'm going to roll off of His assembly line as a finished product. I said, I'm going to roll off of His finish line as a finished product. You see, I need somebody to lift me above circumstances. You see, the first miracle that Jesus ever performed was a miracle of changing circumstances. Had nothing to do with a person's nature. Nothing to do with his disposition. It was a miracle of circumstances. Filled the water pots with water. And they filled them to the brim. And they said, pour it out. And they poured out blushing red wine. Fellow asked a man one time, said, do you believe Jesus changed the water into wine? He said, well, I don't know, but he said, at my house, he's changed Budweiser and Old Bud and whiskey and homebrew and beer and White Lightning and Three Roses and Old Crow into beefsteak and potatoes. You get it? I don't know about it changing the water into wine, but I know he's changed at my house. Because there ain't no more Old Crow or Granddad or Three Feathers or White Lightning or Sneaky Pete. Why? Because he took up residence. And there's no identifying that and associating with that kind of a life with the kind of a life that he changes. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. I like that translation. I know the King James says creature, but he's a new creation. All things have passed away, and all things have become new. Where are you going? You're going somewhere. Who are you going to turn to? You're going to turn to somebody. Who are you looking to tonight? I'm afraid to grow old. I'm afraid they'll do away with Social Security. But thank God your Heavenly Father and mine happens to be the Ways and Means Committee, folks, in your life and mine. I need somebody. I need somebody to lift me out of my sins. Have you ever tried to reach down? We did growing up. Reach down, take hold of your bootstraps and try to pull yourself up. Well, the more you pull, the harder you push. And you'll get nowhere fast. You see, folks, we need somebody. We need somebody. And this problem of sin has been with us a little over 6,000 years. And there's no work of reform will cancel out my transgression. You see, I didn't come into this world shouting glory, folks. David says, I was shapen in iniquity. In sin did my mother conceive me. I was born in iniquity. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl needs a redeemer. Every person needs forgiveness. And thank God, He forgives. You say, well, Brother Frazier, what about this big one? Brother, there's no big ones or little ones of God. God forgives. And when He forgives, He forgets. Praise God. In sin did my mother conceive me. I was shapen in iniquity. No such thing as prenatal holiness. We weren't born righteous. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. None of us were born holy, righteous, and good. My mother, my grandmother, my mother's in heaven. She prayed me and my three sons and her husband into the kingdom of God. But I can't go to heaven. And I'm not going on my mother's relationship with God. I'm going because Roy W. Frazier is saved. I'm going because I'm forgiven. Never been drunk in my life. Never gambled. Don't know how to dance. I'm too clumsy. If I backslide, I don't know what I'd do. If you back, what are you going to do? Well, I'll go out and have me a couple of beers. My God, what a life. And you go to bed at night and your wife tells you to slap you on the cheek and says, turn over. There's an odoriferous aroma that I smell coming from you. Turn over. I'll put a sack in your mouth. What would you do if you backslid? Where are you going? But when that prodigal son turned over and looked that hog square dab in the face and saw his snoot looking at him look like a double barrel shotgun, and he rubbed his hand across that hog's back and said, I believe you need a shave too. He said, I'm going home. I'm not going home. Because my father's house don't look like this. Nobody in my father's house looks like this. And I know nobody in my father's house, nobody smells like this. I'm going home. You see, folks, possibility won't do the job. That prodigal son could have sat there and just thought positive. Possibility, say, yeah, it's possible. Well, what are you going to do about it? Well, I'm just going to sit here and think positive. But when he rolled over and got up on his hands and knees and crawled out of that hog pen, that's when the change started. It started on the inside, but I'm talking about, that's when it actually commenced. I'm not against thinking positive. Nothing wrong with that at all. But there comes a time, folks, you got to put action. You got to start. The four leprous men sitting at that gate, there's death there, there's death here. But we're not going to die sitting down. If we die, we're going to die on our feet. And that's sort of my innate feeling tonight. I'm going to preach as long as I can. I'm going to sing as long as there's a song to be sung. I'm going to play as long as my fingers can move across that keyboard. Praise God. I need somebody. Well, what about the monetary system? Materialism, can you resort to that? No. James says, go to now, ye rich men, weep and howl for the misery that's come on you. You see, folks, money is on a medium exchange. You take $5 to Vilo and you come back with a few groceries. You exchange. You exchange what you had for what he had, and you got what he had. The man sat on his front porch and looked and saw his barns. He says, you know what? I've had a prosperous year. And he said, I'm going to tear down these old barns. And I'm going to build new ones. I'm going to stack to the ceiling all the stuff that I've prepared and raised. And then I'm going to sit out there on the front porch and I'm going to put my feet up on the banister and I'm going to twiddle my thumbs and say, so take it easy. You got a whole lot laid up in store. You don't have anything to worry about. Jesus said, you fool. Thank God for money. Thank God for people in the church who have money. Because it takes money to operate. And our pastor's been under the burden of it for several weeks. The finance of the church is not where it ought to be. But God keeps a close eye on the cash register, folks. I said, he keeps a close eye on the cash register. And he knows when the pocketbook feels like an elephant stepped on it. And he knows when the rent's due. And he knows when the oil is running low in the tank. I remember we lived in Chantilly, Virginia, and I was evangelistic work. Winter time was on. I was going away to revival. And I went out and measured the oil in the tank. It was about this much on the stick. And I said to my wife, I said, I don't have any money to leave with you to buy oil, but just as soon as they give me some from the revival, I'll send it to you and buy oil. God is my witness, and she's here to testify to it. She went out there every day for one solid week and measured the oil on that stick, and it had not gone down one iota. Praise God. Where are we going? Can we look to the bank and we look to the loan agency? What, is there any security? People are getting the pink slip. What are we going to do? I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to seek first the kingdom of God and the righteousness that belongs to that kingdom. And then all of these things. All of these things are going to be added. What about the God of pleasure? I don't believe this world system ought to set the pattern for children of God. Jesus said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The Bible says, he that liveth in pleasure is dead while she lives. You see, you may have received a charge, but you got burnt. Oh, this world will give you a kick, but you got hurt. And I don't believe there's anybody in this world. I don't believe there's anybody in this world, in this universe, that enjoys life and living and pleasure any more than a real, genuine, born-again child of God. Amen? Praise God. I'm having a good time, folks, going to heaven. Peter said, where are we going? For thou. There's no longer boats, folks. There's no longer fishing gear. It's no longer minnows and worms. It's you. It's not a blue plate special. It's left all in following you. It's not a formula. It's not a dogma. It's not a creed. It's a person. And that person is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God. Thou. It's you. Thou hast the word of eternal life. Thou hast words. In fact, John says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Solomon says, the Word of the Lord is a high tower. The righteous flee unto it and are safe. There's security in this, folks. I said, there's security in this. Someone said, you can take this to the bank. Bless God, you go beyond the bank. Because banks have been known to fail. I said, banks have been known to fail. But thank God, this will never fail. Thou hast the words Jesus spoke words. Jesus used words. He used language. The Bible says He sent His word and healed them. 2.5 million people came out of Egyptian bondage, and every last one of them was healed. There wasn't a man in the crowd that had the swollen foot or the gout. There wasn't a baby that had the whooping cough or the mumps or the measles. He sent His word and healed them. God said it. I believe it. God said it, and I believe it. Because God is not a man that He should lie. Thou hast words of life. You see, Jesus brought life, folks. He said, because I live, you're going to live also. He said, I'm come that you might have life and have more abundantly. The thief comes but for to kill, steal, and to destroy. But He said, I'm come that you might have life and have a whole lot of it. And don't we like abundances of things? Ladies, some ladies go home after church and they'll put on a muumuu. When those big muumuus, they say, well, I feel like I want to move around in something, you know. They go to McDonald's and get a Big Mac. Buy a milkshake. Give me the big old milkshake. Buy a hot dog and we want a foot long one. You see, everything we want an abundance of, a lot of times, but the very thing we need, and that's Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I'm come that you might have life and have a whole lot of it. Jesus was on His way to the city of Nain. And He met a funeral procession. And He saw that funeral entourage coming down the road. They had the music and they're picking the banjos and guitars and drums and all that. Well, they were paid mourners. They were hired to mourn. They were hired to cry. And they were coming down the road. And Jesus was going toward the city of Nain. Here comes death. Here goes life. And they're meeting on the same thoroughfare. I wonder which one of them is going to move over and let the other one pass. One of them's got to give. One of them has got to move aside. You know who moved over? Death. Jesus said, I'm going through. And He walked up to that bier, a young man lying there, his eyes closed, his lips sealed. Jesus said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And that dead man got up. His eyelids flew open like window shades. He started licking his lips. He started yawning. And he turned around and stepped down on that ground. Because life defeats death. Life overcomes death. Thank God. Jesus is alive tonight. Are you alive? You say, well, Brother Roy, I used to have what you all are talking about up that new life. I used to have it. I used to feel good. I used to enjoy life and living. But something happened. Something went wrong. You can come home tonight. I say you can come home tonight. You can come back tonight. You can have that joy restored. David said, restore unto me the joy. I tell you folks, you can put up with a whole lot if you're happy. But you can't hardly live with yourself if you ain't. Doesn't mean you're going through life grinning like a clown or Cheshire cat. Doesn't mean that at all. But there's resident joy down on the inside. Thank God. Because you know where you came from, you know where you are, and you know where you're going. Would you like to know that tonight? Would you like to walk through those doors on your way to your car, back to your home, knowing that deep down in your heart, you've made peace with God. Your sins have been forgiven. And when they're forgiven, folks, thank God they're forgotten. God says, I'll put them behind my back in the sea of forgetfulness. He said, I'll remember them against you no more. And he won't drag them up. And he's not a peeping Tom going around trying to find. Bless God, he looks upon you and me tonight as a born-again child of God whose name's been written in heaven. Hallelujah. And I'm on my way tonight. Would you stand, please? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to speak to those here tonight who need to make peace with you. Oh God, I pray, Father, that somehow or another you will cause somebody to step out in this aisle and say, I'm the prodigal son, I'm coming home. I'm tired of the way of sin, I'm coming home. Because I believe my Heavenly Father will forgive me, and He'll do it tonight. He'll do it tonight. Heavenly Father, don't let a person walk away from these premises without knowing Jesus Christ of Nazareth as their personal Savior. I ask you, my Father, in Jesus' name, that you'll save that soul, reclaim that backslider, and help that person who's lost contact with you to reestablish that fellowship tonight. We'll thank and praise you and honor you and glorify you in Jesus' name. While Brother Chip leads us in the song and invitation, I want you to step out on the aisle tonight. Come down here, shake these ministers' hands. But most of all, I want you to make a decision right now for the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life and to save you. And ask God to forgive you, and He'll do it. Maybe you'd like to join, or you'd like to with this church. I want you to step out. Come down. Renew your covenant with God. Will you do it now? Praise God.